This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Negative. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Children, your people, saints, and if there's any sinners, look upon them today, Lord, that you would give them a rhema word, a word from on high. That Holy Spirit, that you would illuminate their understanding of the word of God, and that we will gladly receive what you have to say in our hearts and in our minds, and we'll be ever changed from our encounter and experience with you. Father, we ask that you give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearers be the tablet in which I shall write upon the word of faith that brings healing, deliverance, power, peace, and even prosperity to those that hear and believe and receive what thus saith the Lord. Father, we thank you that you looked over the celestial banners of heaven and poured us out a blessing we don't have room enough to receive. Father, you've made us whole in our time with you. Father, we thank you for the joy that you've given us. The unspeakable joy. We thank you for the peace that surpasses all understanding. And Father God, we thank you now for the word of God, the blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for the Holy Spirit of God who guides us and gives to us what belongs to you. And Father, after you've healed and delivered and set free and you've done all you want to do in this service today, we'll be careful to give you the credit, the glory, and the praise. And we will join in with the many-winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you're holy God, and your glory fills the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God is a good God. Thanking and praising him for his goodness, his grace, and his glory that is revealed in us, to us, and through us. Amen. I want to use for a thought, and just so you know, before Whitney Houston sang it, this was always the greatest love of all. Amen. Just for a thought, the greatest love of all. Amen. I got to try to show you who God is, and the only way some people will ever know is by you showing them. They'll never read the Bible. They'll never come to church. So you, it's your job to show them who God is. Amen. It's your job to show them how much God loves them. It's your job to tell them, amen, how much God loves them. Amen. So the ministry of love. Now let's go on a little further so I don't be too long here. We look at verse 13. He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We looked at the master's love. We've looked at how the ministry of love is supposed to be communicated and how it compensates us and how he commands us to do the ministry of love. But then we look at the magnitude of love. Look at this. He said greater love. The word greater is the word in the Greek megas. And it really means it means exceeding. It means high. It means large. It means loud. It means mighty. So when he says greater love, he said that there's no love larger than this. There's no love louder than this. Come on and say amen. There's no love greater. There's nothing that is greater than this kind of love. This love right here, he said greater love had no man. That nobody, you won't find this kind of love nowhere else. Nowhere else. He says that a man lay down his life for his friends. Remember the scripture says scarcely would one die for the righteous. But no, you don't find people dying for the ungodly. Come on and say amen. Now we all in here have sinned and fallen short of the glory at some point in our life. But we got to realize that this kind of love is not found everywhere. The magnitude of the love, it shows true compassion. When Jesus healed, it was because of the compassion. When he was able to feed the multitude, it was because of compassion. Whenever he did whatever he done, when we had miracles where he healed, brought back to life a dead girl and a dead boy. Why? Because of him having compassion. When the Syrophoenician woman spoke to Jesus and she said that my daughter is possessed or afflicted by a devil, and Jesus said, I didn't really come to you. He said, I'm not supposed to give the children's bread to the dogs, but she said, don't the dogs eat from the crumbs of the children's table? Jesus said, oh, he looked at her and he loved her. And he did whatever it was she asked him because she had faith. He said, I haven't found this kind of faith nowhere. Do you know that faith and love work hand in hand? Because if you love, then you become faithful. Come on and say amen. We got to know that we have to have faith in God. And the Bible says in Hebrews 6, he says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. We cannot please God if we don't have faith in God. And having faith in God proves that we truly love God. Oh, come on and say amen. You trust that he don't mean any ill towards you. You trust that he can work it out. You trust that he can make a way for you. You trust that it's going to be all right. You trust that whatever his will is, then it's all right with me. Come on and say amen. So the magnitude of his love, he says, now I show true compassion. But then when you look at the magnitude of his love, you have to look at the cost of his love. He said that no man lay down his life for a friend like this. Nobody would lay down his life for friends other than this Jesus. And before, people talked about how they would give. Paul even talked about after this. He said, if I give my body to be burned, he said, if I speak in tongues of angels and I don't have love, he said, I don't have anything. I'm a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Come on and say amen. Are you asleep on me yet? He said, I'm a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. He said, I'm just a bunch of noise if I say I got love and I really don't. Amen. He said, I'm just a bunch of noise as if I come and pretend to be a churchgoer and I can't walk out and love my neighbor as myself. Come on and say amen. He says that you got to learn the magnitude of love. And so when we learn that love, it carries a great weight and a great responsibility, then he wants us to learn how to manifest that same love. Because in verse 14, he said, ye are my friends, and if you do whatsoever I command you. And so he gives us basically some stipulations here. He gives us something to go by to know whether or not you can really walk in this kind of love. He said, you're my friends. He said, if you do what I command you. If I tell you to do something, you'll be willing to do it if you're my friend. You know, I've had some friends in the past that want me to get into some stuff I shouldn't. And they say, man, if you're my partner, you're my friend, you'll look out for me and you'll help me do this. And you know what? I sometimes did some foolish stuff because I called myself being friends with people who really wasn't friends with me. Preach. And so since I got a true friend, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Oh, what a privilege it is to take it to the Lord in prayer. Since I got a friend in him, I need to do exactly what he asked me to do, because he's the kind of friend that if you do what he says, do. And sometimes when we don't do what he says, do, he'll still come and deliver us from whatever we get into. Come on and say amen here. And so look at the manifestation in verse 14 through 17. He says, that you'll do what I say if you understand my love as your friend. And then he says in verse 15, henceforth, I call you not servants, for a servant don't know what the Lord does, but I've called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known unto you. So what is he saying here? He's saying that, look, here's the manifestation. He said, you'll have companionship with me if you walk in my love, if you're my friend. When you become my friend, it'll manifest to you that I show that I care, I'm caring, and I'm sharing. Amen? When you are in covenant with him, he'll begin to share with you. He'll begin to care for you. Come on and say amen. That's why the scripture says, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. In other words, the word care means to provide. So God will begin to provide for you when you understand the love of God. You'll understand that I may have a few resources, but God is the source. He's the source of my strength. He's the strength of my life. Whom shall I fear? Come on and say amen. Even the enemy, when the wicked come to eat up my flesh, they what? Stumbled and fell, though a host should encamp against me. Oh, come on and say amen. He said, the war should rise against me. I shall not not fear. One thing I desire of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord and inquire in his temple. Why was David saying that? He was saying it because he loved him, and he realized the shepherd loved him. He realized that God was the source of his strength and the strength of his life. Preach. He said, look, this is a manifestation. Because God cares, he will begin to share. God will begin to let you see who is and who ain't. He'll begin to let you discern what's real and what's not. He'll begin to let you know. Come on and say amen. He said, I don't call you servants. And you know, we're always talking about being servants. And it's all right to say that I'm humble as a servant, but I'm really his friend. Oh, he calls me friend. He says that for a servant don't know what the Lord does. He said, I want to let you know what I got to do. I want to let you know how I'm going to heal you. I want to let you know how I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to let you know that I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So don't worry about those children. God got them too. If God can keep you, what about your children? Preach anyway. We need to know that God is right there. And he says, look, he said that I'm calling you my friend. He said, I've heard these things of my father, and I'm making them known to you. I'm not going to hold back when you want to know something. I'm going to let you know. Some of us said we had a dream. It's because we haven't sat still long enough to let him speak to us. He waits till we fall asleep still, and then he lets us see what's going on. Preach. Oh, come on and say amen here. Sometimes he lets you hear something through prayer. Come on and say hallelujah. And when he lets you hear, you say, I don't know why that just, it just looked like my first mind said, that ain't your first mind, baby. That's the Lord speaking to you. We got to quit saying it's just my first mind. No, if God is talking to you, you can be going down the road. And why would you talk to yourself? You weren't really talking to yourself. You were really talking to God, and he was talking to you. And that's where you get the good idea from. Then you say, that's what I'm going to do. You're talking to yourself. No, that's God in the car with you, trying to let you know that I'm trying to give you an idea that you might move on. And the only way you'll move is if you think it's your idea, but it's really mine. Preach. He said the manifestation here is that I'm going to share with you the things that I've heard of my father. In other words, I'm going to share with you what the Spirit of God has in store. The Bible says, I haven't seen, or ear haven't heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has in store for him. But we don't stop there. He said, but it has been revealed by my Spirit. So the Holy Ghost will tell you what the Lord is saying. I wish I had somebody. So he said the manifestation here is that I'm going to call you and tell you what the Lord has in store. But then in verse 15, he said, henceforth, I call you not servants. But verse 16 says that you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I wish I had somebody here. He's called us to something different. He says, look, I remember when we were growing up, we couldn't choose our friends. Our friends were chosen by our parents. You see, some of us, the Lord hadn't chosen those folks that you call friends. You chose them, and something wrong with that, because God knows best. He's been trying to disconnect you for a while, but you keep trying to tie back up. Preach anyway. He's been trying to give you a sign that, hey, that really ain't the one. You need to move on, but you're still trying to get connected. You're still trying to follow up. Come on and say amen. But what I want you to see here is that the manifestation is that he says that I've chosen you. You know, when God chooses you, then he looks at you not because you're so good, but he redeemed us. He brought us back. He looked at us even in our messed up state and how bad off we were. He still said, I want you to be mine. Preach anyway. He said, yeah, you, with all them lies you tell, I want you to be mine. Yeah, you. Come on and say amen. You were drunk, busted, broke, and disgusting. And he said, it don't nobody else want you. Come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, he wanted you exactly how you was, because he knew that he could change you. See, I got to give it up for some of you ladies. Some of you ladies get hit up with men that you think that, you know what, I believe I can change him. Well, that's good. I'm glad you got that kind of confidence. But I admonish you to let God change him. If he gets on the altar, let him stay there until you see a change. Don't jump the first time you see him. Oh, he came to church one time. Oh, you don't know what you're getting yourself into. He came because he was trying to see who else was looking at you. Oh, come on and say amen. We need to learn how to let the Lord burn that mess off of him. Oh, come on and say amen. Before you try to grab him, let the Lord arrest him and change his life. Do I have anybody here? And let me give you a hint. You can't make him come to church. The Bible said that God has to do that. He said, by my spirit will I draw you. Come on and say amen. Through loving kindness will I draw you. He said, no man can come to the Father except the Spirit of God draw him. So you can't draw him with your makeup. Paul said that. You can't draw him with your hair braided up. Paul said that. You can't draw him because you got necklace and beads. None of that will draw him. But God said that the way they're drawn is through me. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. When they wake up one morning and realize the love that God has for them, then they say, I got to go and I have to show some sign. I have to go and show the manifestation of God's love. I realize that he loves me. Oh, come on and say amen here. He said, I've chosen you, but not only have I chosen you, he said, but I have ordained you. He said, I've ordained you. Amen. He said, in other words, I've appointed you to something. I've given you a purpose. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light for a purpose, to show forth praises. He called us and he made us who we are so that we can show people who he is. And so he said, not only have I chosen you, not only have I elected you, not only have I pulled you out, snatched you out, plucked you out, put my hand, picked you out of the crowd. I've looked at the mug shots and I picked you and said, I'm pulling you out of this. He said, but I've ordained you and I've given you a purpose. Come on and say amen. Some of us saying, I don't really know what I'm supposed to do. You're supposed to love. Oh, come on and say amen. You saying, I don't know what my call is. Your call is to love. I don't know what my ministry is. Your ministry is preach. Amen. Yeah, he says, look, we need to see this. He said, not only that have I ordained you, he said, but I called you and ordained you. I've chosen you that you be productive. He said that you might produce fruit, bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. He said, I've called you so, and I've chosen you so that even when you go through, he said, I expect you to keep producing fruit. He said that I've called you so that you won't be without, that you would have something to give all the time. I've called you so that you will make what? Bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should what? Remain. Now, if your joy, he said, I called you to have your joy remain. He said, now I'm going to keep you to make sure your fruit remain. Come on and say amen. And so what God is saying, I'm trying to get you to a place that you stop letting the devil steal your joy. I'm trying to get you to a place that you stop letting the devil steal your love. Oh, come on and say amen here. I'm trying to get you to a place that you stop letting the devil steal, and that you can keep some of your stuff. Because so many times we're sad because of what's been taken. We're sad because we don't have. We're down, depressive because of what has happened. But he's saying that I have chosen you so that you can keep something and show people that the only way to keep what you got is that you got to give it to God. Preach anyway. He said, for whatsoever you ask my Father in my name, I'll give it unto you. He said, now here's another manifestation, that because you love me and I love you, that whenever you pray, I'm going to answer. Because whenever you love somebody and they ask you for something, then you don't have a problem giving it to them because you know they love you back. Preach anyway. If that joker don't love you, you say, I can't give you that kind of money because we ain't in love with one another. You start falling out because of that. But whenever you love somebody, you say, there's nothing I won't do for you. If you need all of it, here it is. Come on and say amen. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. He said, this is a manifestation of the love of God, is that he gives you what you need. Whenever you ask him, he does it. Come on and say amen. And but you know one thing? He not only gives you what you need, but sometimes he gives you what you don't need. Sometimes, look, he has to, we got to understand, when you love him, he's still in control. Don't you love your children? Preach. And if you love your children, you don't always give them what they ask for, but you give them what they really need. Oh, come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, we got to understand we get exactly what we need from God. And so God knows best. Come in and know that Father knows best. He knows best, even though we don't understand it. He knows what's best for us. And so he said that he may give it to you. Verse 17 and last, he said, these things I commanded you, that you love one another. We got to understand here that love has a commitment. He said we are to love as he loved. We have to be committed to love in the way that he loved. And he said that you'll know who my disciple is, how? By the love they show one toward another. And so when we start talking about the greatest love of all, there is no other love that's greater than the love of God. When we start talking about how we are to manifest the love of God, we need to manifest the love and be a conduit of his love. I don't care what the enemy tried to bring. I don't care what kind of hate and opposition you come up against. You need to know that the love of God overcomes that. He said, greater love had no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for a friend. So what he's saying here is that sometimes this kind of love is costly. Sometimes this kind of love will command you to do some things that you wouldn't normally do. But I'm so glad today that he gives me strength to love the way that he tells me to love. He said, I need to love my neighbor as myself. The problem with me loving my neighbor as myself is that sometimes I don't really love myself. Sometimes I look in the mirror and hate myself. Sometimes I don't like the way I look. Sometimes I wish I would stop acting the way I act. Sometimes I don't really love myself. And so what God is trying to get us to do is love ourselves. And when you learn how to love yourself, you can then learn how to love other people. You see, people who are hurt normally hurt other folks. If you're looking at yourself and all you see is the hurt, oh, come on and say amen. Then all you're going to be is a hurt person that learns how to hurt people. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. And every time somebody bring up a situation, you start thinking about how you was hurt. And all of a sudden you're depressed because you should have been trying to help somebody. But you're thinking about your scabs and your scars. Oh, come on and say amen here. But I want to be like Jesus. And so I'm not going to tell you how bad I was wounded. I'm going to walk in like he did Thomas. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. He didn't say, Thomas, look at the scabs. Let me pull back this band-aid. Let me show you. Let me unwrap this thing and show you how bad I was wounded. He said, Thomas, here's my hands. I'm going to show you the scars. There's a difference between a sore and a scar. A sore means that it's fresh, that it can bleed again, that it can hurt some more. But a scar means that I've been through it all. And I'm healed up now. No longer am I hurt. I was hurt for a little while, but now I'm healed up. See, we got to know, we got a process on which we get healed. We don't always start out healed, but if I just give it over to the Lord, somehow I look around and the scabs that I had, no longer are they scabs. No longer can you scratch the scab, and I start bleeding all over again, but now I'm healed. Do I have anybody here that say, I want to be like Jesus? I want to be healed so I can show my scars that I've been through a whole lot. I had a crown of thorns on my head. I had nails in my hands. You can put your hand through the hole and feel what I've been through, but you can't experience it the way I did. But let me share with you that while I was on the cross, they had somebody there looking, and they said, surely, because of how I went through it, this is the Son of God. I had somebody on the other side that said, you got to be somebody when you come into your kingdom. Remember me. And at that time, while you're hanging on the cross, it ain't time to complain. It's not time to bellyache. It's time to let them know. I'm going to talk to the Father on your behalf. You see, what God would do to you is that when you have the love of God in you, that while you're on the cross, he won't let you complain. He let people come to you for needs, and they need to be saved. They need to be delivered. And he said, now you deal with them. And all you can say is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do I have anybody here? Have you been persecuted? Have you been lied on? Have you been talked about? Can you say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, they don't know what they're trying to do. They think they're hurting you. But what they're doing is getting God's glory to rest on you. That's what Peter said. When I go through my trials, the glory of God rests on me. Do I have anybody? In other words, the kabod of God, the weight of God. When I'm sick, oh, come on and say yes. It's God's glory that gets me healed. When I'm depressed, it's God's glory that lifts me up, because love lifts me. I wish I had somebody. When they lie on you, it's God's glory that make you smile and wave and say, it's all right. Come on and say yes. Say yeah. It's the greatest love of all. So whenever you go through your trial, just remember God's love. Just remember God's grace. Remember that if it had not been for the Lord who was on your side, where would you be? While you're on the cross, say, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. They can't mess my spirit up, because my spirit is in his hand. I don't care if you do pass by trying to show off in front of me. I'm going to say, Father, into thy hand. I can't keep my spirit. You got to keep me. Oh, come on and say yes. Say yes. But when Jesus said that, he gave up the ghost. Then he died. They say he hung his head in the locks of his shoulders, and he gave up the ghost. I wish I had somebody. There was a reason for that. He didn't just give up the ghost to die. He went down to hell. He couldn't go in the flesh, so he had to sloop down in the spirit and go down to hell, kick hell open, take the keys from the devil, loose the captives, and say, I'm the one that came to deliver you. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, he took captivity captive, took them back to a place, and they went back to the grave. But early, somebody say, early, early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. What lifted him up? It was the love of God that lifted him up. It was the love of God that let him go to hell and let him come back. You see, now I don't have to go to hell. Some people say, I've been to hell and back. No, the devil is a lie. I don't have to go to hell. He gave me an opportunity because of his love. I don't have to go to hell. If I go to the grave, he said he's going to come back. And he said, the dead in Christ, they shall rise first. But we that are alive and that remain shall be caught up because of the love of God to meet him in the air. I don't know what we shall be, but we'll look like him. Somebody said we'll have two wings to veil our feet, two wings to veil our face, and two wings to fly with. But I want to let you know, I don't care if I have wings or not, but what I do know is that whatever he did, he's going to call me up, and I'm going to fly whether I got wings or whether I don't have wings. I believe his word will carry me on up. I wish I had somebody. Say yes. Say yeah. It's the greatest love of all. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to leave us alone, but he's coming back in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Now, what is a moment? A moment is the bat of an eye. As soon as you bat your eye, he can be coming right on back. So if he bat, you bat your eye and he comes back in the moment, you better be ready. He said, I already showed you that I love you. What else must I do? He said, I got this for you. He said, the only sign you got is the Son of Man. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. We're looking for signs. He said, the Son of Man, 3 days and nights in the belly of the earth, but he rose up now because he loves us, and now we're here.